Welcome to What a Ride with Rupert Guinness and Aaron S. Lee. What a Ride is the show about swim, bike and run, or anything else in the world of sport that tickles your fancy. It's aired on Radio Sydney FM for Australian Broadcasting Media and is available on online and on iTunes. Now, I mentioned three sports there, but at this time of the year, in the world of cycling, it is the classic season. And right now, in the guts of the classic season, with the Tour of Flanders and last Sunday, the Paris-Roubaix Cobblestone to Hell of the North, having been raced and won, and from everybody but two winners, lost. Now, the Tour of Flanders was a great race the week before. It was a race that came in with a lot of expectation and it had a very deserving winner in world champion Peter Sagan. It was a thrilling finale, but nothing like what we saw on Sunday in Paris-Roubaix. It was probably one of the greatest races I've ever seen, and a lot of other people have said that as well. And I'm not just saying that because there was an Australian winner in Matthew Hayman of the Orica Green Edge team. I'm saying it because of how the race unfolded. It started fast, it started hard. We saw breakaways try to get away. We finally saw a main break go away, and then there was a flurry of chases and regroupments, and then we saw up the lead group the numbers fall off the back and literally fall down as well throughout the field. It was a typical Paris-Roubaix with thrills and spills in dusty and dry conditions mostly, but there were some muddy patches which certainly made it much more hazardous for some who obviously fell victim to the mud and came cropper, including Fabian Cancellara, I should add. And it was still a thrilling race. It had all the elements heading into the event. We had Tom Boonen, the four times winner, trying to seek a record fifth win. Fabian Cancellara was racing in his last Paris-Roubaix as a former winner, so he was trying to go out on a really high note, certainly not to crash as he did, and also on the velodrome after he finished. He had an awful fall there in front of his fans as they were cheering him for the last time at the Roubaix velodrome. Again, Sagan provided a lot of entertainment, but this time not for how he raced and how he won, but it was for how he avoided the crash of Cancellara. As he said later in the week, "I didn't know I could fly." Well, anyone who's seen that video would be still amazed to see how he avoided that crash. But certainly, Sagan avoided it, and he managed to hopefully avoid any. Well, he did avoid any accidents. But the man of the moment, the man of the day, was Australia's Matt Hayman, who won. Hayman led a group of five riders who included Tom Boonen, Ian Stannard, who finished second and third respectively, Sepp van Marck, who finished fourth, and also the Norwegian Edvald Bosenhagen, who came in fifth. It was a spectacular finale, certainly for Matt Hayman at the age of 37. It's his first win, the second win ever by an Australian after Stuart O'Grady in 2007, and it's his first and biggest victory of his career from 15 attempts at this fantastic monument, the third of cycling's five monuments. Matt Hayman lives and breathes as cobblestones. He's come previously 10th in 2011, and then he's come 8th in 2012, but this was the big one. This is the one he wanted to win. And adding to the lustre of his story was his lead into the event. In February, Matt Hayman broke his arm in a crash, and he had not raced except for two times in the week previous, before Paris-Roubaix. He had spent all his preparation on a home trainer. He did hundreds of kilometres. He was doing like an hour and a half in the morning, an hour and 40 in the morning on the home trainer, and then doing another 40 minutes or so in the afternoon. His whole preparation based on a home trainer. But beyond that, he also had the heart and resolve to win. As I said, he lives and breathes this race, and I don't think I've ever seen a winner of Paris-Roubaix, or perhaps of any race, so welcomed by everybody who watched it, whether viewers on TV, listeners on radio, fans by the road, his fellow riders in the peloton, and not just in the Paris-Roubaix peloton, but throughout the sport. In very many ways, it was a really, really warming story. Matt Hayman has now gone back to his normal duties as a domestic. He did Brabant's Pils on Wednesday, and now he's going to be racing in the next classic, the Amstel Gold Race in Holland on Sunday. But best of all, We've got Matt Heyman with us on What a Ride. I had a chat to him the day after he won the race. He was driving home, back to his home in Belgium, and I got him in the car. Well, he was in the car driving home, and we had a bit of a chat. So let's just sort of get our breath back again. We'll have a little bit of music, but when we come back from the break, we're going to listen to Matt Heyman talking to What a Ride.
Traveling in a freighter combi on a hippie trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under? A women go and men wonder. Can't you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover. I said, do you speak my language? He just smiled and gave me a Vegemite sandwich. And he said, I come from a land down under. Leaders flow and men chunder. Can't you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover.
Special guest on What a Ride is Australia's new and the second only Australian Paris-Roubaix champion, Matt Heyman. He's talking to us direct from Europe, where he's talking to us the day after his great victory. Matt, thanks very much for being on What a Ride. And just first up, it's 24 hours after the piece, after your great victory. How are you feeling physically and mentally right now?
To be honest, I haven't had much sleep, and I mean, if 250k doesn't make you tired, I'm not sure what was happening last night, because there was no way I was getting to sleep. Just kept replaying it over in my head and needed to have a grasp to the telephone to double check that it all had actually really happened. But today, it's slowly starting to sink in with getting quite inundated with messages and requests, and so today is actually, I'm really starting to believe what was unbelievable yesterday.
Now, this is the 15th time you've done Paris-Roubaix. I mean, you've finished the race every time, and you've obviously physically felt really sore afterwards, and people talk about how it can take days to recover. Are you feeling sore now, or you're still sort of floating a bit?
Yeah, I think that's because I was able to win. I think you know everybody else falls in a heap, and I walk around like I haven't even raced. I think that's the mental side of it. If you normally, I get to the end of that race and I lie around like a beached whale in agony. But no, yesterday I was also lucky or clever enough to put myself in that early break, and I think I missed a lot of the hard racing when Tom Bonin broke the bunch up, and those two groups were chasing each other for quite a long way, and Tom made the race really long and really hard, and I missed most of that, so I only joined them with when they got me at about would have been about 50k to go. So I realised in the last 10k that I actually probably was a bit fresher than the other guys.
I remember when Cadel Evans won the Tour de France in 2011, and he said, you know, in many ways that victory was the culmination of 20 years of experience, near misses, learning from things that went wrong, capitalising on things that he learnt when things went right. Do you feel for yourself, Matt, that yesterday's ride was a culmination of those 15 years of toil and desire, and just taking the positive out of what it could have been a lot of negatives?
100%. You know, I was saying sometimes having so much experience can almost be a negative, because I've seen punches on every, you know, it's like, oh, I punched here once, I crashed over here once, oh, this corner's a bit dangerous. But no, yesterday it worked in my favour, and I was confident in every move I made, and somehow I was able to get into the zone, and the way I rode the last 15 kilometres, I just seemed to not be able to do anything wrong, and I was able to keep my cool, and because I was just that little bit fresher, maybe I was able to read the other guys a little bit better than I normally would. Sometimes I end up being the one that closes all the gaps in someone else's wins. And yesterday, the closer I got to the finish, the more they were marking each other, and the longer I could save myself.
And tell us, Matt, what was the reaction like of guys like Tom Boonen, who was chasing a record fifth win? Ian Stannard is obviously a very strong rider, who you know as a former teammate at Sky. Fabian Cancellara, yeah, trying to finish on a great note. And obviously Peter Sagan, I guess the world champion after his Tour of Flanders win. I mean, did you get feedback from him as to how they felt about your win?
I spoke to Tom on the podium, and I've raced with Tom for many years, and then, you know, he was, I think, you know, I live in Belgium, and my local town is quite proud of me yesterday, but the rest of Belgium, I think there was a huge sigh when he lost, and he was going to take that record and go down in history, and he had a bit of a comeback story himself, coming back from such a hard crash in Abu Dhabi last year, and breaking his skull, and so everybody wanted to see him do it, and it looked like, and he did really make the race. I mean, if I'm honest, it was he had to win, and I knew that he was never going to settle for second, and I was able to gamble. If someone went up the road, I was happy to go for second or third, and that paid off in the end, and I think the boys marked themselves out of the race. But yeah, to be able to win, I was up with some pretty illustrious company there with Tom, who's obviously fast, but being a sprinter, Edvald Boasenhagen, Ian. But I backed myself in the sprint. I've done a few lead outs, and I've won a few sprints in my day. So,
Now tell us.
I was pretty confident still going in.
Now I understand you're in a car. You're driving somewhere. Can you tell us where you're driving to? Because I know you're going to start racing again on Wednesday. And where is the fabled cobblestone right now? Is it on your lap, or is it in the back seat, or is it in the Orica Green Edge van?
It's under the back seat at the moment, between a bottle of champagne, a bottle of beer, and some flowers. We're just heading home. Last night ended up being pretty late. We went out and we had a dinner together with all the team and all the staff and all the helpers, because as you see in Paris-Roubaix, there's also, and every other classic, there's a large contingency of people who are standing on the end of every section with bottles and wheels, and they do it not just for Roubaix, they do it every year for 3-4 weeks. So it's nice to celebrate that. And spent the night in Ghent last night, and just heading back home I haven't heard otherwise, so it's business as usual, and Wednesday I'll be back on the start line in Brabant-Sebel.
And how do you feel you'll race that race? Will you just line up to try and help someone else, or will you absorb the attention that will be on you and maybe have a crack yourself?
No, I think it's back to I normally only get one or two goes a year to ride for myself. No, it's, Michael Matthews he's run second there 2 years in a row, and it's one of his big targets, and he's a big favourite, and that's fine with me. It takes a bit of pressure off, and hopefully I can carry this form in, and he can get a big win that he's been looking forward to in that race. Something that he really enjoys doing is the Brabant-Sebel.
Now, you've got the experience of knowing that what the momentum within a team is. You know, if a team gets a monument win or a classic win, Orica Green Edge now have got a great history of having 3 out of the 5 monuments. Heading into the Ardennes, and including the Amstel Gold Race Classic, I mean, the momentum from your win across the whole organisation must be huge right now. I know you spoke about that about last night as you celebrated, but it can have a huge impact, can't it?
Oh, for sure. I was even thinking in the race yesterday, you know, you used to always say, oh, everybody's, they're all just guys who get up in the morning and put one leg through one side of their pants and one leg through the other. We're all just equal. And I think nothing more than that, that the guys go, wait a minute, I've trained with Heyman all the time. If he can do it, I can do it. You know, so definitely I think, you know, that's what happens. The guys look around and say, wait a minute, I know that I'm capable of doing what he is, and I think we can all lift. And I mean, Amstel Gold is just, it's one that we almost expected to win, and it's the one that we haven't won. We've been so close on so many occasions. So yeah, that's a pressure race for the team. And in ways, you know, when we won Milan Sanremo and Liège, it was unexpected, just like Roubaix. So it's going in with a different mentality, but hopefully the team can step up.
Now, I know you've got your head in classic mode, and understandably, and probably at the rare sense of being a winning classic mode. Just looking further ahead, I remember, you know, when you did your first Tour de France start a couple of years ago, obviously you were disappointed that you weren't able to finish, but I remember at the start you said the only other day you felt as nervous at the start of that year's Tour was at the start of a Paris-Roubaix race. Would you still love to go back to the Tour de France, and is that like a box you'd still like to tick, or are you happy where you are now, and do you feel that what disappointment you had at the Tour you've sort of made up for with this win?
I still feel it is a box that needs to be ticked. This has obviously come out of the blue and has been a bit of a dream, and who knows with the Tour, but I'm putting my name back in the ring, but you know, I understand the team needs to look at the route and needs to pick the best team to get the maximum publicity and results. And I mean, as we get closer and we see riders' forms and injuries and it'll become clearer whether I'm going to the Tour again. But you know, I was asked yesterday about, you know, what else would I like to do, and that's one thing, and it doesn't, it's not very glamorous to say, oh, I'd like to finish my first Tour de France, but now that I've won Paris-Roubaix, I mean, it's still a big box that I'd like to get to the Champs-Élysées. That being said, I'm happy with my career and I was before this race, and now this is the big one for me, still pinching myself here.
And you know, I've just a couple of more questions. I know you have to move on, Matt. But you know, for one of the great things of these stories like yours, it is a fabulous story. And you may get overwhelmed with everyone's attention in your story in the next days or weeks. But you know, for the young kids out there who are young cyclists, maybe not the ones who are the stars, but the ones who may be questioning whether they should keep on keeping on. What's your message to them?
Yeah, I think talent is sometimes people just look at talent as a physical capacity, and I think there's a lot more to this sport than just the physical. It is also, you know, being in the team atmosphere and being able to back up and being able to put in all the hard yards, and I think that kind of and the age that. That I am now seem to all come together on one day. But so you know, there's, you know, these days everyone's talking numbers and things like that, but a bit of passion helps as well.
And just lastly, Matt, I know there's been a lot of talk or speculation as to whether this would be your last season or not, but can you sort of give us some clarity about that? I mean, would you like to be wearing the number one at Paris-Roubaix next year?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'd have to do. I need to speak to my wife about that, but I do have a contract for next year, so it wasn't out of the question that I would ride. But yeah, sure. After breaking my arm, after doing months of training, you know, it was a bit of a rough period for me, and I was asking myself, you know, is this what I want to still be doing? And but then days like yesterday make it all worthwhile. But without. Even before yesterday, the way we rode it to Down Under, that's what I like. I like winning, and I like being in a team that's doing well. So as long as those good days outweigh the bad days and the time away from home, and we can still justify it, then I'd like to be at Roubaix again next year.
Just like very lastly, I promise this one. You know, when Cadel Evans won the Tour, he was 37 as well. Oh no, hold on. I think he was pretty much that, and you are as well. Is there something about you know, age does not matter? It's just more in the head and the mind and the body rather than what a figure is or two numbers.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, I think obviously through my injury, having the fracture in my arm and freshening right up, it just shows you that that yeah, even at this old age, the body can still perform at that level. And you know, I definitely don't feel it. I talking to some of the boys in the team, and you realise how young they are and where they were when I turned professional and what they were doing. It's sometimes a bit daunting, but. You know, I don't feel it on the bike and I don't feel it in the bunch. I feel like I'm racing just as I ever was. And, yeah, the experience helps a lot. And that's something that I've always liked to work with the younger guys and pass on. So, yeah, I think it's just, like I said, for me, it all came together yesterday. And I needed every one of those 15 years before I got it right.
Well, Matt, you've given a lot of not just young people inspiration, but a lot of us older types as well. And I noticed this morning in Sydney, there was a lot of people out there this morning who watched the show or watched the race, and they were still up and on their bikes. And tomorrow morning, they will be too. And you'll be the talk of the bunch, not my bunch, but a lot of bunches around Australia. And congratulations, mate! You've made a lot of people very happy, but foremost, yourself and your family as well.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. It was a very proud moment for all of us.
Standing at the limit of an endless ocean, stranded like a runaway, lost at sea. City on a rainy day, down in the harbor, watching as the grey clouds shadow the bay, bay. Oh,
Welcome back to Water Ride with Rupert Guinness and Aaron S. Lee. I'm Rupert Guinness, and if you're wondering why I'm the only one you listen to, except for Matt Heyman, who we just listened to a little while ago, the Paris-Roubaix champion from Australia, it's because Aaron S. Lee is away on assignment, but he'll be back next week, we hope, for our next instalment, by which time we will know the winner of the next classic of the European Spring, the Amstel Gold Race in the Netherlands. That's held on Sunday. Now, the Amstel Gold Race is a fantastic event. It's not one of the five monuments, but geez, if you had a sixth monument, it would probably be up there. It's a brutally tough race, held with. It's got a myriad of climbs. It's, a lot of them are cobbled, and it's a fantastic event. Certainly for the Netherlands, it's their biggest event of the year, and whoever wins it is always a great rider nonetheless. Now, it's been 33 years since an Australian has won the event. Phil Anderson won the 18th edition of this race, and he is the only winner from Australia. But, gee, Australians have come close. Now, two Australians, apart from Anderson, have stood on the podium. We've got Simon Gerrans and Michael Matthews, both from the Australian Orica Green Edge team. Now, going into this race, the two Orica Green Edge riders will be creating a lot of interest as to who will be the best card that the team will put on the table to try and win the event. It's anyone's guess, because the two were also in the Australian team at the World Championships last year, where they both were hoping to try and win, and neither did win, and there was a lot of conjecture as to one or the other should have been the designated leader. Either way, we'll see how things unfold on Sunday in this year's Amstel Gold Race. Now, Gerrans, he placed third on three occasions in this event in 2011, 2013 and 2014, while Matthews, you know, he came third last year, and certainly Matthews is looking for a great result this year, because while Gerrans will still be trying to win, of course, Matthews is hungry as ever at the this sort of relative early period of his professional cycling career. Now, they're not the only two riders who'll be there. As we said, Matt Heyman, he'll be there trying to help either or be as best positioned as they can be for their tilt at the win. Matthew Heyman, as I said, he explained to us, you know, he's expecting to be back into those domestic role. That's the nature of Heyman. He's got so much humility, and he's so devoted to his task. He knows he's had his big chance at Paris-Roubaix. He seized it finally after 15 years, so he'll be happier than ever to try and help one of his teammates win. But this race is not just about Orica Green Edge riders, and neither is it just about Australians. But speaking of Australians, I mean, some of the riders who will be there, you can look for names like Jay McCarthy, David Tanner, Simon Clark, and also Nathan Haas. Now, they're all good riders who will be hungry to try and produce their best. But some of the other foreign riders we're looking for, you know, there's guys like Alejandro Valverde. He's always a rider who'll be up in the mix, and don't discount the Irishman Dan Martin. Now, they're just a few of the names. By the end of Sunday night or Monday morning Australian time, no doubt there'll be others who will have raised their hands and put their name to all our attention. The Amstel Gold Race is just the first of the next round of classics, because then cycling goes to the Belgian Ardennes for Flèche-Wallonne and Liège-Bastogne-Liège. Liège-Bastogne-Liège is the fourth monument, the fifth being the Giro de Lombardia in October. Liège was won last year by Simon Gerrans, nonetheless, the first Australian. So let's just hope for our Australian listeners that this Australian theme continues. For our non-Australian listeners, let's just hope for a great race, like what we saw in Paris-Roubaix. This edition of Water Ride is a shortened one, but nonetheless, we hope that you enjoyed the racing that we've had. Hope you enjoyed Matthew Heyman's insight into his terrific win in Paris-Roubaix and what he sees for the future leading up to the Tour de France, we hope. Hopefully he'll get to start again in that race. In the meantime, from me, Rupert Guinness, and my co-host, Aaron S. Lee, we just wish you all the very best. If you're riding out there, stay safe, stay alert, stay calm. And remember, a meter matters. Until then, have a great time on the bike. If you're not on the bike, just have a great time and take care.